From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Barry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today, On Deadline is looking at the 2024 election and what some experts are saying could become a victory lap for former President Donald Trump. That's unless Democrats choose a new candidate at the top of their ticket. 2 weeks after President Joe Biden's debate debacle, here's where we stand. The president has said that short of the Lord Almighty's intervention, nothing will stop him from running for re-election. At the same time, in Congress, nearly a dozen House Democrats have called for the president to give up his delegates and let someone else run in his place. As I record this, Minnesota Representative Angie Craig, Washington Representative Adam Smith, New York Representatives Jerry Nadler and Joe Morrell, and California Representative Mark Takano are among those calling for Biden to drop out. On the state side, Democratic governors led by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz held a phone call last week to express their concerns over the president's capabilities. Then they were invited to meet with Biden in person. According to a report from CNN, the president expressed his commitment to running and to no longer scheduling events after 8 p.m. so he could get some more sleep. That comment didn't necessarily alleviate fears about his future performance on the public stage. But if Biden were to step aside at this late stage in the game, who would replace him? One obvious choice would be his number two, Vice President Kamala Harris. But many people are wondering if she actually has enough support among voters. Political analyst Mark Sandalow answered that question for us and more.
Top Democratic circles are speculating about Vice President Kamala Harris's potential to be the presidential nominee. Mark, we established she's a polarizing figure, but is there enough support for that?
I mean, Eric, right now, if you look at the betting sites, you know, Predicted is one of them. They're people who put money on politics. The front runner for the Democratic nomination is Kamala Harris, which is absolutely, you know, remarkable, as, you know, that she was at like 2 or 3% a week ago, and now about 40% odds for her to be the vice president, to be the presidential nominee with Biden down, you know, with less than a 3-to-1 odds against it. And the idea is several fold. I mean, obviously, people are talking about replacing Biden. And the issue with Harris, she, you know, she's somebody who got panned her first couple of years as vice president and was thought to be a real obstacle in that most polls had her losing to Donald Trump even more than Joe Biden. Well, that's changing. And there's some logistical issues in that transferring the nomination to her rather than say to, you know, to Gavin Newsom or any other Democrat out there, it'd be much more easy legally. There are, you know, confines about people who've donated money to the ticket, and this way she could take over more easily. But people are also remembering the best of her rather than the worst of her. You go back to this debate 4 years ago when she first was running for president herself. She dominated the first debate. I mean, I know it's only one debate. That's what they're saying about Biden. But she talked about health care and how, you know, parents in America sit in the parking lots trying to figure out whether or not they can afford to bring their kids into emergency rooms and how that's unacceptable, about how we don't let children of undocumented immigrants who have gone to college and who have served the country in the military not become citizens, and that's not American. She talked about Donald Trump relying on science fiction rather than science. She challenged Joe Biden. She talked about passing the torch. If that were Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris might well have been, you know, the nominee and would be a very strong contender. But at this point, the odds-on favorite to be the Democrat going after Joe Biden right now is, you know, the former San Francisco DA.
Speaking of President Biden, he's got that interview with George Stephanopoulos today. It's going to be played, I guess, on Sunday. I know he could lose even further. Can he win in this context?
He can win, Eric, if he does this over and over again. I mean, one good interview is not going to correct things. I mean, even yesterday at the 4th of July celebration at the White House, he still had that look about him like he wasn't totally in control. Now, of course, everyone is scrutinizing this in a crazed way at this point. One interview with George Stephanopoulos will do nothing. People will say, well, yeah, of course, he prepared for it. If Joe Biden interviews with, you know, George Stephanopoulos, and then goes out and starts doing this on a weekly basis with people. And more importantly, gets away from a set taped situation and goes into, say, news conferences on a regular basis where he can show he's sharp. That's pretty easy to convince people that that debate was a one-off and that's not who he is. That's not what signs point to. I mean, I think the most devastating news to come out of for the Biden camp of the last 48 hours have been reports that his aides have noticed a decline over the last couple of months. Now, we don't know who those aides are. It's anonymous. Donald Trump says any anonymous sources are liars. I don't know if I believe that at all. But if it is true that this is the new Joe Biden, then there's nothing he can do. You know, good answers to George Stephanopoulos aren't going to work. So we'll see. It's remarkable how the conventional wisdom in Washington at this point is that it's only a matter of when Joe Biden decides to step down.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, who has more weight? We had the meeting with Democratic governors this week. They all come out in support of him, but every day another member of Congress does not. So who carries more weight there?
Well, and even those governors, I mean, there was some reports out of there that what Biden told them was, you know, look, I realized I didn't have a good night debating. Of course, I'm getting older, but I'm still in control. But, you know, I was traveling internationally. I really got to get more sleep. As people have pointed out, the, you know, I'm the president who needs to get more sleep, but I'm still together, is really not, you know, a great mantra. This is something, you know, the president of the United States doesn't sleep. We've seen the gray hairs it's produced on young, vigorous people like, you know, Barack Obama. You know, the idea that somebody in Joe Biden's shape could survive another 4 years is something that's extremely worrisome to people. You know, the answer is, The governors hold weight, the members of Congress hold weight. Ultimately, it's going to be what the polls say, because anything to get him above Donald Trump is what Democrats are going to settle for.
Following his meeting with Democratic governors, one of Biden's strongest allies, and a name being floated as a possible replacement for him, continued to defend the president. California Governor Gavin Newsom has refused to ridicule Biden over his debate performance. Though Newsom spent the 4th of July in Michigan, where Governor Gretchen Whitmer is another candidate whose name has been touted as a Biden replacement, he continued to speak in support of the presumptive candidate. Why has Newsom, a rising star in the party, stayed so loyal? KCBS insider Phil Matier shared more.
Phil, for every defender like Gavin Newsom, there's usually somebody else in Congress popping up every day saying, no, he should quit.
Yeah, and there's an interesting reason for that, Eric. You know, Gavin Newsom, as governor of California, has been a staunch defender of Joe Biden and the Democratic policies. Even before the debate, he was out on the campaign trail for the president as a surrogate. And you remember his Gavin Newsom's big debate with Ron DeSantis early on. But people have said, well, he seems to be mixing his support for, you know, a likely run down the line for himself. But this latest trip has, you know, stirred up some controversy. First of all, he took off for the White House, you know, right at the midst of California's winding up its legislative session, when he put a number of lawmakers through the meat grinder over his efforts to put an alternative measure on the ballot to counteract the move to repeal or roll back Prop 47. A lot of people were left hanging out to dry when all of a sudden he said, well, that's it. I'm pulling the measure and I'm heading off to Washington to support the president. And then he got into Washington and he and other Democrats, governors, met with the president. And then they went over to Congress and basically told them to cool their heels. But those Congress people, Eric, you know, they face re-election this November. Newsom doesn't. And neither do the other Democratic governors, most of them. It's a free ride for them. And if you look at those who are contending to possibly run down the line, a lot of them are governors. Meanwhile, the congressional people are saying, we're in tight races, even here in California. We need all the help we can get. We need something at the top that's going to bring out voters, not put them to sleep.
While much of the spotlight has been on Biden since the debate, a lot has happened for his opponent in the last week as well. Following a judicial win in Atlanta and one in the Supreme Court, which has declared he has some immunity from prosecution, the question has to be asked, how is former President Trump capitalizing on all these apparent wins? To lend some insight into Trump's current state of affairs, the chief political and elections correspondent for CBS News joined Odyssey.
Robert, how do you view how the Trump campaign has handled all this? I guess maybe you obviously wouldn't know much more than I, but it seems to me that they've been somewhat reserved in their focus, and almost like, well, let's just let this play out with the Democratic side. What's your assessment of how the Trump campaign has viewed this?
Your use of the phrase "the Trump campaign" is an apt one, because the Trump campaign has been reserved. They are letting the Democrats squirm, as one Trump campaign source put it to me. At the same time, Trump himself has been pretty critical on his social media platform, spouting off about President Biden's debate performance, about Democrats. There was a video, CBS News has confirmed, that shows President Trump on the golf course sort of trash-talking President Biden and Vice President Harris. So you're seeing Trump himself being, well, Trump, but the Trump campaign letting the Democrats have their own semi-civil war.
The noise surrounding the debate performance and whether or not Democrats will continue to line up to suggest that President Biden step aside, is that noise quieting down at all?
The noise is contained.
Okay.
It's not quieting down. Yeah. But what you have now is a dynamic in the Democratic Party where systemically there's a lot of loyalty for President Biden. And the governors reiterated in their meeting at the White House that they had concerns, but they're standing by him. They're not going to have some kind of political coup to take him off the ticket. At the same time, they're urging White House officials, not necessarily President Biden directly, to make sure he's in command, reassure them that this is going to just be an episode that happened at the debate, not something that's going to signal weakness until November.
A CNN analysis of polling following the debate found that the president's performance really didn't impact the overall outlook for the Biden-Trump matchup. However, it also found that Democrats had good reason to panic, since voters are concerned about Biden's age and his health. All any of us can do at this point is wait to see what happens at the Democratic National Convention next month. It's theoretically possible that delegates could choose someone other than the president during the virtual roll call where delegates cast their ballot at the convention. If more than half of his delegates decide to choose a candidate other than the president, the process would lead to further rounds of voting before a nominee is chosen. That's according to ABC News. However, The Hill noted that this is a very unlikely scenario unless Biden himself decides to leave the race. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strauser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.